What is the most exceptional name in the entire universe? According to us believers, we know what that is. If you would do a survey and you would go on the street and you would ask people, what do you think? Who's the most popular person in the universe? They would probably think of Miss Universe, maybe. Maybe a political leader, a president, a prime minister, a prince, a king. King Solomon was very popular. He was so popular that there was no king before him and no king after him as glorious as he was. But what does Jesus say? I love it. What Jesus says. The Queen of Sheba came a long way. She made a long journey, perhaps several weeks, to make it to Jerusalem to see the glory and hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus said, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's just the foretaste of the real king. And Jesus was able to say, behold, here is more than Solomon. Now, wasn't Jesus bragging a little bit there? Maybe. No. He spoke the truth. Because that's what he is. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no one higher than him. And I want to make a case today. There isn't even one that comes close to Jesus Christ. Not even close. Whether it is Buddha or Muhammad or any other religious leader in the history, there is just no way that anyone is even close to it. Some religions require their followers to be ready to die for their leaders, for their cause. But our leader, our King, our Lord, died for us. And that's the difference. He not only died, but he rose from the dead. And this was what the message of the apostles was. This is what just energized them so much that there was no force, no threat that could stop them from speaking about Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected by God, living in their midst, being very much alive and with them. That was the message. And that is the message of the gospel. If you consider the story in Acts chapter 3 and 4, Peter and John go to the temple. And I love it where they go at a certain hour. It was time to worship. And they wanted to participate in the temple worship. They wanted to be in the temple, in the house of the Lord. And so they came, and in front of the temple, at the entrance, there was this beggar, this cripple. And he was known to most of the people, I'm sure. And he begged for alms, because at that time, there was no welfare system. There was no disability program. He couldn't work. He couldn't make a living. He was totally dependent on what people gave them out of their free will. So he asked Peter and John, you have a couple of bucks. You know, I need some food. And Peter, he looked at John, and I can just imagine, he looked at John and he said, What do you think? And John nods. It's time. I can just imagine this look. Peter and John look at each other. And they say, here's the chance. So Peter says, look at us. We don't have silver. We don't have gold. We're not rich. We don't have expensive clothes on. Just look at us. We can't give you that which is perishable. But what we have, oh, I love this. What we have, we want to give to you. What did they have? And I can imagine the cripple was all curious. What do you have? What surprise is there? And Peter reaches for his hand. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Oh. I don't think this crippled man expected that. But this is the power of Jesus' name. He comes at an hour, at a moment, and he reveals his power in our lives when we least expect it. And this is the wonderful message that they had for this cripple. What we have, we are giving it to you for free. No money, no money exchanged. This is something valuable, way more than $1 million. And this cripple, he right away went with the program. He did it. He said, well, Peter, he must have pulled on his hand, his arm, say, get up and walk. Well, he hadn't tried this for a long time. He could have said, here, now, wait a minute. I haven't been able to walk in 30 years. Who are you? Who is Jesus? And what do you want me to do? Did I hear right? He has no hesitation. And he gets up, he tries. See, this is where the cripple had to have faith. I mean, it was Peter reaching out and saying, this is what we have. Are you receiving it in faith? See, sometimes we're hesitant to receive the blessing or the healing or the help that God offers us because we don't believe. We don't think that that's possible. We don't think that God would actually love us so much that he would pay attention to us. But this is the blessing of the name of Jesus because it's an exceptional name that is above all other names. Today I feel like not looking at the notes too much. I'm so excited about this story. So the cripple gets up, and I can imagine he feels the warmth, the circulations is going into his legs all the way down to the feet, and he feels this energy coming up, and he rises up, and he said, I can walk. I can walk. And I bet he was crying, I can walk. I can do the things that I could never do before. It was possible for God to do this impossible thing. I can walk. And he's so excited. He's so excited. He starts to jump. He said, I can even jump. I can jump. Oh, it's so beautiful. You know that's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to be, oh, we're going to jump up and down. I mean, I think many of us will turn Pentecostal when we're in heaven. I don't know, but whatever you call it, but it will be glorious. And here was a piece of heaven. Heaven met earth. Heaven came down and was experienced here. And this formerly lame person was now praising God. He didn't praise Peter and John. He got it. He was praising God, and he was praising the heavenly power of and the name of Jesus Christ. Well, this obviously aroused the attention of the enemies, the opponents. And so they inquired about it. In verse 9 in Acts chapter 4, it says, "By what means did this man get healed?" Now, they could not argue against the miracle. And this is the wonderful thing about miracles. It cannot be explained. Did you know that? Miracles cannot be explained. Because if you can explain a miracle, it's no longer a miracle. Because a miracle is a divine intervention. Heaven meeting earth. Heaven coming down to bless people. That's a miracle. By what means is this man made whole? And Peter explains. Oh, Peter was excited. He said, "Everybody, let it be over loudspeaker. Let it be known to all. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, you threw away this precious name, this precious person called Jesus. You did away with him. But God raised him from the dead. By him, this man stands here before you whole." By Jesus, whom you rejected. The one that was among you, whom you thought was a thorn in your eyes, who you thought was a hindrance to you, to your religion, by his name, this man got healed. Jesus always has been and is a controversial name, a controversial person. You know, when it's in public and in the media or in government offices, I mean, they don't mind mentioning God, but when it comes to Jesus, the name Jesus is somehow, people say, that makes me uncomfortable. Well, yeah, you know, the name of Jesus is a precious name, a powerful name, a feared name. But it is the name in which and by which all knees will bow and confess. All tongues confess. All, not just a few. Atheists, unbelievers, agnostics, whatever religion there is, all will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not that he was, but that he is forever and ever and ever. Jesus is Lord. His name will be for all eternity. As a society, in general, our society is less concerned about salvation as in past generations. Past generations sought salvation through political leaders, through religious leaders. This leader is going to save our souls. This institution will save our lives and our generations and will keep us going. And people get very passionate about the ones that they prefer, even from history. But there is no other name like Jesus. Why the name of Jesus? Verse 10 Again, let it be known to all of Israel, that by this name, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you rejected, whom you thought wasn't worthy to live, but God raised him from the dead, and by him, this man stands here healthy. It is a very blessed experience to be healed physically by the divine power of Jesus' name. And I want us to cherish this truth this morning. I want you as a child of God to really meditate on this thought. What does the name of Jesus mean in my life, in my faith? How much do I trust Jesus to help me in my life? Now, will he always heal? Will it always be so miraculous as here? No. I think the ultimate healing will be in eternity. As I said, that in heaven we will jump. And all those that are crippled in this life and did not receive the healing. Because when you read the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, you see that many were not healed. Many were not saved. But God loved them nevertheless the same. Because by faith they lived. By faith they died, and they will live with Christ forever. It is sad to see that in our day and time, people love the darkness more than the light. And I would like to suggest that when people love the darkness more than the light, and they seek answers for their lives, for their lives' questions, for their problems, for their anxieties, for all of their troubles. They seek it in all the wrong places. But when the name of Jesus becomes really known in their lives, and it's like a light bulb that turns on. Aha, now I see the name of Jesus. I was blind, but now I see. The name of Jesus changed everything, because here is what Peter says. There is no other name in which we are to be saved. What is being saved? What is salvation? Salvation, some say it's a process. I would say, well, if a process, then it should be a very short process, because salvation is compared to a birth, to a spiritual birth. How long does a natural birth last? We want it to last. Does a mother that is about to have a baby, does she want the birth itself to last a long time? No. She wants it to be as short as possible. The spiritual birth is like the natural birth. It's a totally new life coming into this world, a totally new perspective. Where there was darkness, where there was confusion, the name of Jesus brings light. Where there was guilt and shame, the name of Jesus gives us forgiveness, gives us healing, healings of our mind and emotions, our souls, our hearts, healings of our memories of the past. Salvation is simply the issue of undergoing an actual change in our lives that makes us, as Peter used these words, makes us whole. And yes, we may suffer physically of ailments and things like that. It will always be in this world. But we can nevertheless can be whole spiritually and emotionally through the name of Jesus. Let's not underestimate, let's not water down the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Let's let it stand in all its power and all its glory, even in our lives, and trust him, because we know that we can become spiritually sound, spiritually new, because of the change that God does in us when we get born again. Salvation, in my view, is total healing. If you receive Christ as your Savior, if you, and here's confusion, even in our day and time. Some people say, well, just believe. And the only way that some people hear that to come to salvation is just say, I believe that Jesus wants to forgive all my sins. I believe that he died for me on the cross. I believe that he wants to be my Lord and Savior. And so I say, yes, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that, and now I'm a Christian. No, it doesn't quite work that way. That's like a stillbirth. Sure, the Bible says, by faith you are saved, by faith we receive salvation. But how did Jesus start his sermons? How did John the Baptist start his sermons? We had to do something. And what is that? Repent. See, if we believe only, anybody can say that. Anybody can pay lip service to Jesus and to his name, and there will be no power. But if we obey him and we bow before him in remorse and in repentance, and we say, Lord, I am so sorry I sinned against you and against your name. You see, every sin that people commit is against the name of Jesus. Every time someone sins, it's like another stab in Jesus on the cross. But salvation is when we repent and we turn from our ways and we turn our focus on Jesus Christ and on the name of Christ. And then it's like this whole dam breaks loose and he forgives us and he just sheds his forgiveness on us, his comfort, his strength, and his wonders. That is the message of the gospel. That is salvation. Peter says, you set him aside. You thought the name of Jesus was valueless. He said, this stone, which was rejected by you builders, he has become the chief cornerstone. This is where we build on our faith on. This is what we're ready to die for, he said in other words too. Salvation has a name. And that salvation is declared already in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 where Jesus, angel said, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Let's be clear on this. He will save his people from their sins. He will separate God's people from their sins. He will cut off their sins. Save them from. When you are saved from something, means from a destructive element like fire or water. You're saved from it. Because sin bears death in it. But salvation gives us life in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will save the most hopeless sinners. Maybe those whom we gave up and said, there's no hope for this person. Yet, when they turn to Jesus, he sets them free. This is the beautiful, glorious message. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this reminds me that we should never believe that as Christians, we have to live in sin. That's a false teaching. That's actually watering down the gospel. That's watering down the power of the name of Jesus. That as Christians, we are constantly taunted and constantly thrown like a ball back and forth by Satan, and he has his play and he has his heyday and he overwhelms us, and we can never have victory, we can never have hope and joy. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that in the name of Jesus, we can go forward and have victory over Satan, over sin. Because in the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. And if you are tempted, sometimes you have to use words. Sometimes you have to do it aloud. You have to resist the devil with words. You know how best to resist the devil? In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood, I resist you, devil. Flee from me and leave me alone. I belong to Jesus Christ and have a covenant with him, and I want to serve him all my life. That is to resist temptation. But sometimes we're not that bold to do it, are we? We should be. Because there is power in the name of Jesus to overcome sin. You don't have to sin. Jesus died for it. You don't have to live like a beggar, like a defeated person. You can have victory in him. I want to read a quote by Ellen White. The grace of Christ purifies while it pardons and fits men for a holy heaven. The atonement of Christ is not a mere skillful way to have our sins pardoned. It is a divine remedy for the cure of transgression and the restoration of spiritual health. It is the heaven-ordained means by which the righteous of Christ may be not only upon us, the righteousness of Christ may not only be upon us, but in our hearts and character. I want to close with these thoughts. Also a quote. It's a reading called, Don't Give Me Any Other Name Anymore. Give me Jesus only. So let our battle cry be, Don't give me any other name anymore, only Jesus. When the world comes calling with its plastic toys, then give me Jesus. When the misguided religionist comes with a half-pint gospel that saves in sin, then give me Jesus. When you read an article or hear someone suggest that victory really isn't possible, then what do you say? Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus and his gospel. Give me victory and give glory to God in the highest. Oh, may God change us and then take us home. Because if you and I look to Jesus only, his name only, we will not be disappointed in the end. It's when we get distracted and we get tired and we get weak and we don't remember the power of the name of Jesus. That's when things turn dark and gray and confusing. The Lord calls you and me today. Walk and live in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Amen.